get into our message. We've been in a sermon series looking at the Lord's Prayer. This is part three. And I want to share with you a few thoughts about prayer. I understand that early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in their prayer devotion. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these paths, that is, P-A-T-H-S, these paths to these places became well-worn. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, quote, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." Think about that for a moment. In your prayer life, is the grass growing on your path? In other words, are you neglecting prayer in your life? Secondly, this was said by E.M. Bounds. He lived from 1835 to 1913. If anyone wants to do a good serious study on prayer, they usually go to the books. He wrote 9 books on prayer. He was an attorney and an author. He wasn't a preacher, but he wrote 9 books on prayer. He said this, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." Y'all agree with that? And lastly, you probably heard the name John Bunyan. He lived 1628 to 1688. He was an English writer. He was a Puritan preacher. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He spent 12 years in prison because he refused to give up preaching. Listen to this, and this one goes right along with what we're going to talk about today in the message on the Lord's Prayer. He says, "When thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart." You see, we got to be careful that when we pray, it's not just words. Like I'm supposed to be praying, so I'm almost like, Lord, and if we're not careful, we normally pray kind of in a similar way. It's almost like the hymns that we sing. Sometimes we sing them and we're not paying a bit of attention to what we're singing because we've sung them 1,000 times. And sometimes if we're not careful, when we pray, we're just kind of saying words. Our mind has not really gotten gear yet. Our heart is not in gear. But what he said, "When thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart." Today, part three, the Lord's Prayer. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I know this is a very rare topic to preach on the Lord's Prayer, right? How many of you have never heard a sermon on the Lord's Prayer? That's what I figured. Most have heard sermons on the Lord's Prayer at some point along their life, right? But don't let that say, well, here we go again. I'm sure that God has something for you today. I'm sure. Now, this is exciting. If Tim were real close, I'd tell him this. I'm only preaching on one verse, and that verse only has 7 words. Whoa. But it's not going to be as short as you might think it's going to be, okay? But it's kind of encouraging to know that one verse, 7 words. We're going to read all of the Lord's Prayer here. As we've said many times, this is a model prayer. It's not like we're supposed to say this every time we pray. This is the only prayer we're going to pray. We have to say it every time we come to church. It's not like that at all. This is a model prayer. I mean, it's something that God gave to us. It could be called the disciples' prayer, absolutely. But I look at it more like it's the Lord's Prayer because He gave it to us. And as He gave it to us, there's so many truths that can be found in these simple words. And we're going to kind of look at the motivation behind the words, those 7 words that are found in verse 11 that we're going to read here in just a moment. If you would follow along, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, what's important when we pray? You know, we as humans, one thing about we as humans, we look at the external, right? We look at the external, and we want to make sure that we look spiritual, right? We want to make sure that we sound spiritual and that we give the right answer in Sunday school and that we sing as we're singing the hymns. But you know what? We can look good on the outside, but the inside could be far, far, far away from God. Do you remember when God sent, was it Samuel, to anoint the new king? And remember Jesse, the dad, and had all these sons? And Samuel kept saying, oh yeah, that's got to be the one. Look how big he is. Look, he looks masculine and manly and all. You know, I'm kind of reading between the lines, but this one must be the king and this one must be the king. Finally, they get all the way down to little David. And he was the one. And it makes a statement in there, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it, that man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And when we pray, we need to make sure that, again, that our heart is engaged, that our mind is engaged, that we're not just saying a little tiny flippant prayer without our hearts and minds being in touch with God. And in those words, give us this day our daily bread. There's a lot that can be said about our attitude and our heart as we pray those words to the Lord. Point number one today, if you're taking notes, we are to call on the best gift giver ever. When we pray, we are to call upon the best gift giver ever. You know, it says just in that first word, give, give. You know, last Sunday afternoon at our Valentine banquet, we talked about, being Valentine Day, we talked about seven precious gifts from God. You remember that? There are specifically seven different gifts in the Bible that are called gifts from God in the Bible. And I'm not going to re-preach that little sermon that I preached over there last Sunday afternoon, but I will run through the list. Listen to these gifts that God gives to us, specifically mentioned in Scripture as gifts. The gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, spiritual gifts for service, the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life. You know, when you think about those, man, it almost ought to make the hairs in the back of your neck stand up a little bit. Like, wow, our God is that good. You see, our God is that good, and He gives us every good thing that we have, according to James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says in particular, the verse says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift, every perfect gift. And what about the verse we love and we share quite often, John 3:16? For God so loved the world, what? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, when we go to prayer, it's not like we're approaching a God that doesn't love us. It's not like, well, we're praying to some foreign entity out there way up. We're praying to some cosmic being way up there that may or may not act on my behalf, that may not know my name, may not know. We're praying to a God who is the best gift giver ever. So in this model prayer, when it says give, I mean, really think about it. We really need to spend more time on our knees in prayer. We need to pray for our walk with God. We need to pray for our family's walk with God. We need to pray for our church's walk with God. We need to pray for our country and for revival. We have so much to pray for. I mean, the list that we just made here is a church family of things that we can pray for. We need to spend more time on our prayer, on our knees, that is, in prayer, to to a God who is the best gift giver ever. The Bible even says, you have not because you ask not. So when you go to God, don't kind of like, well, I'm bothering you, God. No, you're not bothering God. When you get on your knees and you go before God, or whether you're driving down the road with your eyes open, when you go to God, remember in your heart, this is the best gift-giving God that ever was. He loves to give us good gifts and good things. Now, life is hard. It has its bumps in the road, if you will. But our God, and we need to keep in mind when we approach Him in prayer, that He is a good God, that He is the best gift-giving God ever. Now, I'm going to ask you to use your amen here in just a moment, okay? On the count of three, if you still got that amen inside of you, say it. One, two, three.
Amen.
All right, wasn't as good without the kids, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Have you ever known someone who is known to be not so good of a gift giver? This is kind of like a man who gets his wife for Christmas a toaster. You know, it's like, man, that is such a romantic, thoughtful. Like, you're the one who eats the toast all the time, hubby, so why in the world? You know, it's just like, that's not that good of a gift for Christmas. Or maybe someone who for somebody's birthday gives them a soap on a rope. You remember that when that used to be big? You get a soap on a rope? I guess that's, you could almost take offense to that. Like, you think I stink? Is that why you gave me soap? But there's some people that are notorious for giving bad gifts, but that's not our God. Our God is the best gift giver ever. And when we go to Him, we need to keep that in mind and in our hearts that He's a good God. He wants to bless our socks off. He wants us to be all that He wants us to be. He wants us to be blessed and happy and joyful every step of the way. Today, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, just those seven words. Number one, we are to call on the best gift giver ever. Secondly, point number two, we are to acknowledge our interdependence with others. We are to acknowledge in our prayers our interdependence with others. If you notice, it says give us. Didn't say give me. And if you notice, as you even go on that verse, give us this day our daily bread. If you look at the pronouns in this Lord's Prayer, every one of them is plural. Plural. Think about that for just a moment. You know, when we pray, we should not be so selfish that it's just me, 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 me. This is what I want, God. This is what I want to happen. This is what I need. I want. It's not like that, right? Really, when we go to prayer again in our attitude, it ought to be, I'm going to pray for my biological family, because we're all part of a biological family, right? I'm going to pray for them. Is that a good thing? If you know Jesus as your Savior and you're not praying for your family, there's something wrong there. I mean, why not go to the God of the universe and say, God, our family needs help, because every family needs help, right? But what about the family of God? What about the family of God? Let me put a little advertisement in here. On Sunday nights, typically, we've been going through looking at the family of God in the Bible. Any reference to, or a lot of references to sisters or brothers in Christ, brothers in particular, and about the household of faith and things, references to that. What a blessing the family of God is to be to us. I mean, just think about that. Now, this is a little picture of the family of God here. Now, the family of God, when you say the family of God, even though that term, that phrase is not found in Scripture, what we're speaking of is all those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. And to be quite honest, we couldn't fit them all in this church right now, right? Because it's those folks around the world who may be of different backgrounds and different skin color and different economic status and all that. But it's all the people that have trusted Jesus as their Savior. But right here in this local church, which God has ordained, is a little picture of that family of God. Are you thankful for the family of God? And really, I think kind of the idea here is our interdependence with one another. We should be praying for one another. I mean, why do we take prayer concerns? Why do we pray on Wednesday night? That's our main prayer time, is on Wednesday night. Why do we actually take time, write them down? Why do we pray for the lost? Why do we... Aren't we dependent on each other? You know, when something goes on that prayer and praise page on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, but I know it's there. And Amy, a lot of times, puts things on when you want. I mean, when things go on there, I can count, or I should be able to count, on the people of our church that are on Facebook at all to say, you know what, I'm going to lift that up in prayer. And then on Wednesday night, when we share a concern, I don't care how small you may think it is or how huge you might think it is, we should be able to count on one another to pray and uplift that. And one thing I learned a long time ago, I would find myself, let's say, meeting someone or talking to someone somewhere. Of course, they knew I was a preacher, and they'd say, would you pray for this? Sometimes I was their pastor. Sometimes I was just in the neighborhood or in the community, and they knew who I was, or I knew them as a friend or neighbor or whatever. And I would say, yeah, absolutely, I'll pray for that. Guess what? I'd forget. Really, because we forget sometimes, right? So what I started doing more than not, when someone shares a prayer concern with me, I'm like, let's just pray about that right now. And I know that I'm going to pray for it, and I can remember that long. But really, in our hearts and minds, as a church, we ought to be uplifting one another. Give us this day our daily bread. Not just being selfish, but praying for one another. In this should be an attitude that we're in this together, fellow Christians, right? We rely on one another typically in a biological family. We are to rely on one another in the family of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. Notice what these verses say. That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members, talking about people that are saved, should have the same care one for another. Notice, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't it good to be part of the family of God? Isn't it good to rely on other people praying for us? People tell me quite often, preacher, I pray for you all the time. Some say, I pray for you every day. And I'm thinking, boy, what a mess I'd be if you weren't praying for me. Some of you say, you're a mess now, preacher. I know. Truth hurts. But I'm thankful for people uplifting me as pastor, that I would guide and direct this church and lead this church and preach the word and stick close to God and all those things. But we need to rely and depend upon one another in the family of God. And we need to pray for others. It's really not a time to be selfish and basically monopolizing our prayer time, praying for everything that I need. We ought to be thinking of people around us. You know, I enjoy reruns of the old Western called The Lone Ranger. John, you like those Lone Ranger things? You know, I tell you something kind of funny. In one of the concerts down at Ambassador, they did that, is it William Tell Overture? And they played that. The orchestra played that. And Jason said, you know, he likes Westerns, him and Ryan too. I said, Jason, you should have stood up. It's when they got done and said, "Hi-yo, Silver, away!" But that may have not have gone very well with the Dean of Men and all that. But the Lone Ranger, it's kind of funny to me that the Lone Ranger, I think the reason it's called that, you may not know this, but the Lone Ranger used to be part of the Texas Rangers. And so now he's a Lone Ranger. But the thing about it, the Lone Ranger is not alone because he's got Tonto, his trusty companion, right? In Christianity, sometimes people get saved and they treat it like I'm in this by myself. I'm the Lone Ranger. And I'm going to, you know, I don't need church. I don't need anybody. I don't need your prayer. That's wrong. The more you're involved in church, the more you realize, I need these people. You see, God didn't intend us to be Lone Rangers. And I say this again, I say this quite often. If you're here today and you're not a member of a church, what you waiting on? Seriously. I mean, if you agree with us and you stand with us, and a lot of you have been attending here for a good while, I mean, why not join the church? I mean, that's a good thing. God ordained the church, And there's certain things you cannot do in church if you're not a member of the church. And I figure your commitment to the church is not as great as it would be if you're not a member. Because like, well, I'm just kind of an outsider. No, you're not. We want you to join the church. God wants you to join the church and appreciate the family of God. That was a little bit weak, but I hope that you're hearing me. And there's a number of people that fit in that category. So the preacher's picking on me. No, I'm not picking on anybody. There's a number of people that fit in that category that have come to our church for a very long time, and they're not members. I just encourage you. I'm not one of those pushers, you know, that push all the time and every Sunday. I'm like, when are you going to join? When are you going to join? When are you going to join? When are you going to? But really, you need to join. You need to be part of a church. I mean, be part of a church family that uplifts you in prayer and encourages you. We hopefully still do that anyway. And if you say, well, I'm never going to join. Well, keep coming anyway. We love to see you. But I hope someday you will join our church as a good thing. Family of God, when we pray these seven words, first today, we are to call on the best gift giver ever. Secondly, we are to acknowledge our interdependence with others. Third, we are to take, you ready for this? We are to take one day at a time. Notice in that prayer, he says, give us what? This day. This day. You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, notice what it says. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We spend a lot of time worrying about tomorrow. But really, we are not promised tomorrow. Would y'all agree with that? Give us this day our daily bread. We need to focus on the here and now, not looking always down the road. See, sometimes we do that. I know sometimes if you got something, you know, special coming up, you'll keep thinking about that, thinking about that, and thinking about that, and you forget to enjoy the day to day. Do you know what I mean? Do you see what I'm saying? And some people do that. They forget to smell the roses right now because they're looking forward to this or looking forward to the next thing or looking forward to something. We got to be careful. Look at today. Live today to the fullest for God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Another verse, James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Notice this, what it says. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get again. Whereas ye know not what should, notice this, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see, it's important that we take one day at a time in our Christian life. One day at a time. If we start worrying about the future, we've run today. So live one day at a time. Even Psalm 118, verse 24, notice what this says. It says, this is the day. This is the day. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, when we pray to the Lord, we need to pray for today, right? Now, there's nothing, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with praying, Lord, you'll increase our church. We'll see souls saved. We'll keep on sticking to that. That's not a sinful prayer. But guess what? If we're not careful, we'll get kind of ahead of God and ahead and be thinking and worrying and fretting. But God just gives us grace one day at a time to keep on plugging, keep on serving the Lord. Y'all agree with that? One day at a time. Give us this day, our daily bread. I think Christy Lane had it right. Remember old Christy Lane? The song, One Day at a Time. Let me just read the chorus, okay? One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time. When we go to God in prayer, let's not get ahead of God. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not get into a worrying fit. Let's just take one day at a time. The Lord's Prayer. First of all, we are to call on the best gift giver ever. Secondly, we are to acknowledge our interdependence with others and pray for others. Thirdly, we are to take one day at a time. Number four, we are not to focus on stockpiling stuff. Listen, we are not to focus on stockpiling stuff. Notice what it says in this prayer. Give us this day, what? Our daily bread. Our daily bread. Do you know what can happen in this life? And basically the world promotes this. That you go for all the gusto you can. You go for all the money that you can. You go for all the toys that you can get. Now, I see a certain humility in this, don't you? Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. This is not someone who's looking to stockpile a bunch of stuff. Now, I don't have a certain line that you draw and say, well, that's too much, that's excessive stockpiling, and that's too low. That's between you and God. But I will say that we as Americans, we have so much. And we spend a lot of time stockpiling a lot of stuff, a lot of money, and a lot of things like that. And we think we are just so righteous. And God might be saying, you know what? I think you got a little bit too much emphasis on that. You know, you and I, we need to serve the Lord and not try to keep up with the Joneses. Now, that was always kind of tricky, the first church I pastored, because we had Joneses in our church. And I'd get up there, you know, and think and say, now, you don't need to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, not them, not them. I'm not talking about them specifically. But if we're not careful, we'll try to keep up with the world. And we'll make sure, you know, that we got this much and we got to stockpile this. You know, someday we're going to breathe our last. Just like, boom, that's it. And that stuff that we've worried about and tried to stockpile too many times is not going to amount to a hill of beans. You're not going to take it with you. And what you leave behind, there's nothing wrong with leaving an inheritance, but what you leave behind, more than not, that brings out the worst in people. And then they want what you left behind. Maybe think about putting it to God's work while you're living. That's the quietest it's been in church for a long time. Okay, move on, preacher. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Notice what it says. Kind of goes along with this thought, is that we're not to focus on stockpiling stuff in this world. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Think about that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but where's the priority supposed to be? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, there's a lot of Christians whose treasures are upon this earth. I said Christians whose treasures are upon this earth. And that's where their heart is. Their heart's not in church. Their heart's not serving God. Their heart is all about stuff. I don't think it's sinful to have good stuff. I don't think it's sinful to have a bank account. I don't think it's sinful to work hard and to save your money. I don't think it's sinful to have a retirement account. I don't think it's sinful in these areas. But we got to make sure that our priority is not stockpiling stuff in this world. that our treasures, we recognize that what's really going to last is the treasure that I put in my heavenly bank account, if you will. You know, you may have a bank account. Now, I really believe this. I'm not saying this to be mean or hurtful or anything. But when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, that's where Christians will stand, okay? I would guarantee you that Jesus is not going to ask you, how much money do you have? What's the biggest bank here in the area? West Banco? Let's just use West Banco, okay? I guarantee you that God is not going to stand, Jesus in particular, look you straight in the eye and says, how much money do you have at West Banco? Oh, ooh, that much. Well, here's a reward because you had. That's not the way it works. He's going to reward us based upon our heavenly bank account. How much have we invested in serving the Lord? It's important. It's important that we not focus on stockpiling stuff. It's important. Today we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. We're talking about the attitude of our heart when we come to prayer, even in these seven simple words. First of all, we are to call on the best gift giver ever. Secondly, we are to acknowledge our interdependence with others and pray for others. Third, we are to take one day at a time. Fourth, we are not to focus on stockpiling stuff. And lastly, point number five, we are to depend on God to sustain us in every way. We are to depend on God to sustain us in every way. Now, it's true that we in America sometimes, we may not understand this completely, but do you realize a lot of the world do not have the things that we have? Put it this way, even if you're poor in America, you're probably richer than most of the world. Does that make sense? But notice what it says in this verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread. You say, what's that talking about? Well, I believe in the strictest sense, it's talking about our physical food. Absolutely. But I believe by implication, it means all the things that we need. And it's okay to ask God for the things that you need. Now, you might get in trouble asking for things that you want. Now, again, there's a line there somewhere. I think sometimes if you really want it and you think you need it, you say, God, I want you to filter it through your perfect will, and then the Lord will say, you don't need this. I'm not going to give it to you. Do you know what I mean? And it's okay to ask for big things from God because God is the best gift giver ever. But guess what? In this area of needs, God says, I will sustain you. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm thankful that God's that kind of God. Aren't you? You know, if you're counting, you used to hear people say, what you need to have in life is job security. I learned pretty quick, there's no such thing as job security. I mean, that's unfortunate, but there really isn't a whole lot of security in our jobs. And you say, well, that's okay. I got my nest egg and everything is fine. Well, the economy can do a lot to your savings, number one. And what if the economy collapses with all the debt that we have? And I'm not fear-mongering and saying that's going to happen. But you can't rely upon your savings account or your retirement. You can't rely again on your belongings and all that. You need to rely on the one true God to provide your needs. And guess what? He is dependable. He will always come through. And it will be provided the things that you need. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm thankful that I serve that kind of God. I'm thankful that my Heavenly Father will indeed provide everything that I need. I don't have to worry about that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, notice verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply what? All your need. My God shall supply all your need. And I really believe, you know, typically the context is financial need, but I believe it applies to all of our needs. Our physical needs, our emotional needs, our intellectual needs, our spiritual needs, all of those. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is the supply of Christ Jesus small? No. Is the glory of Jesus Christ small? No. He says he's going to supply all your need. And I believe if we rely upon him, he'll meet our physical, again, our emotional, our intellectual, and our spiritual needs in a huge way. Because that's the kind of God that he is. And when I go to him in prayer, I need to say, God, guess what? I know that you're going to meet my needs. We need to have that attitude, right? That you are a good God. You'll provide and sustain me. You know, I looked up some statistics here, but when a person experiences oxygen deprivation, a person will lose consciousness after 15 seconds. No oxygen, 15 seconds. Brain damage begins after 4 minutes. Brain damage. Without oxygen, death can occur within 4 to 6 minutes. Wow. This shows that we desperately need oxygen. Y'all agree with that? May I say in a very similar way, we desperately need God to sustain us every day. We desperately need God. Today we've talked about the Lord's Prayer. I want to give you the point that we talked about and ask you a question. So everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Okay, everybody, I want to see your eyeballs, okay? All right. Number one, we are to call on the best gift giver ever. Question I have for you, are you regularly and seriously calling on God in prayer, calling upon this best gift giver ever? Do you regularly do that? Second point we looked at, we are to acknowledge our interdependence with others. The question I have for you, do you seriously pray for others the way that you should? Do you seriously pray for other people the way that you should? Number three we looked at today, we are to take one day at a time. The question I have for you, are you taking one day at a time in your service to God? Number four, we are not to focus on stockpiling stuff. The question I want you to ponder, are you wrongfully focusing too much on stockpiling stuff? And lastly, our point today, we are to depend on God to sustain us in every way. The question I have for you, do you depend and rely on God to meet all your needs physically and emotionally and intellectually and spiritually? And then I have three general questions. If you're a Christian today, are you awake, alert, and enthusiastic still? Brother, does the grass grow on your prayer path? Remember the illustration from the beginning? In other words, are you praying as sincerely and faithfully before God as you should? I'm not talking about those real quick, okay, God help me. Amen. I'm talking about sustained serious prayer before God. When's the last time you got on your knees before God and asked God for things? Second general question, the church needs you. Will you be men and women of prayer? That's what the church needs. Doesn't need more committees, doesn't need stuff necessarily. What we really need is people that are serious about prayer. You say, preacher, do you think those seats will ever be filled up? Yeah, I do. But I think it's going to be a result of us going before God praying. Will you be men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer? And the last question, when you pray, are you praying words without heart? Hopefully, when you pray, you're not just saying words that mean nothing, but they're coming from your heart. That's what God looks at, our heart. And lastly, if you're here and you're lost without Jesus, I want to tell you this. You probably sense in your heart and life that something is missing. If you've never trusted Jesus, you probably say, there's something missing in my life. Can I tell you that what you need in your life is not more hobbies? What you need in life is not more pleasures, not more excitement. It's not more money. It's not more stuff. It's not more status. What you need is Jesus as your Savior. So if you're here today and you're lost, or if you say, I just don't know, preacher. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'll be down front here. And I want you to respond and come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved. If you're missing something in your heart and life, can I tell you? It's probably Jesus. It's probably Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is God dealing with your heart, Christian, about the area of prayer? Is God dealing with your heart in the area of prayer? Could I encourage you here in a moment that you come forward? That you come forward and do business with God and ask God perhaps to help your prayer life be all that it should be? And then if you're here today without Jesus, you're either saying, I definitely am not saved, or you'd say, I'm just not sure. Would you have the boldness to step out today and to settle that, to nail down your salvation and your eternal destiny by calling out to God and asking Him to forgive you in prayer, asking Him to be your God, telling Him you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you to pay for your sins, and confessing Jesus as your Savior? Would you do that today? Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this invitation to you now. Lord, whether it's a Christian who wants to come to the altar and talk to you in prayer, perhaps about their prayer life, or perhaps to bring a prayer concern to you, or Lord, whether it's someone here today who does not know Jesus as Savior, Lord, give them the boldness, make it loud and clear in their heart that you're speaking to their heart, and may they respond according to your perfect will, we pray in Jesus' name.